Life, politics, parenting, and navigating the daily chaos. It's time for Politely Rude with Abby Johnson.
Well, hello, hello, all you friends. Thank you for joining us once again. I am just so honored that you have chosen to join us week after week. Man, we have a great show for you today. And I don't know how you're feeling today. You know, I am coming to you once again from my home office here in Austin, Texas. Another beautiful, beautiful day here in the gorgeous Lone Star State. And, you know, a lot of people have been emailing me, you know, Biden is our president. Look, I'm as shocked as you are. And, you know, a lot of people have been messaging me and then, I don't know, I guess discouraged. They're saying, Abby, what do we do? We don't know what to do. You know, we feel sad. We feel disheartened. We don't know what to do. Tell us what to do. We feel like, you know, we feel like it's the end. We feel our lives are over. And I'm going to tell you something. You got to cut that out. Okay. You got to stop feeling despondent. You gotta stop wallowing around. Okay. This has always been a ground game for us. This has always been a grassroots sort of movement. We're best not from the top down. Okay. Look, legislation is important. We know that. Seen that over the past 4 years. We know legislation is important. We know politics is important. We know it. We get it. I hear you. That's why I stumped for Trump, right? Legislation matters. Okay. And we're going to see that roll out in a big way over the next 4 years. And I'm going to tell you, this podcast, we're going to talk a lot about Biden with the guests that I'm having on. We're going to talk a lot about what's going to take place in his first 100 days. This is something she talks about a lot on her own show. But look, the grassroots is where we are strongest as a conservative Christian movement. So I'm going to tell you what I did today. Okay. I could have sat around and kicked my heels and said, I'm mad that Joe Biden is president, and I'm mad, and I know I'm going to feel it in my taxes, and I know I'm going to feel it this way and that way, and I'm ticked about it, and I'm depressed, and this and that, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that, and these are things I don't like, and I'm going to type about it on Facebook, and I'm going to get on social, and this and that. I could have done that, right? But what I chose to do instead was I went out to my local abortion clinic and I prayed and I sidewalk counseled. And I chose to be a part of the grassroots pro-life movement in that way, right? And I made myself uncomfortable in front of an abortion clinic and I made a difference in that way. And you know what else I did? I took a crib that we aren't using in our house anymore to a pregnancy center because there's a woman who's having a baby in 3 weeks who needs a crib. So I took that crib to her and a pack of diapers that I picked up at the store. Because every time I go to the store, I try to remember to pick up a pack of diapers for my local pregnancy center to put on cute baby butts. You know, these babies that come in, these moms that come in who are maybe considering an abortion, they go into our local pregnancy center. Our pregnancy center tells them, hey, abortion, no problem. We have all these resources here. You can choose life. We can help you. And so I go, I give them a pack of diapers, and hey, the diapers I give them, they go to one of these moms. That's what I did today. So instead of just wallowing around and talking about all the problems, I wanted to go and be part of some solutions, some things that can make some people's lives better. better. And so that's what I feel like we all need. Now we need to be aware of what's going on. We need to be aware of what's happening in you know, this Biden-Harris presidency. And look, I mean, I think that we have a choice here, you know, and my choice is going to be yes, to know about what's going on, you know, in government and whatever, and to know about what, you know, what that rascal Biden is doing and what Harris is doing. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute with my guest, but I'm going to be a part of the solution. And I'm also going to take, I'm also going to make sure that I'm involved with local and statewide politics as well. Because here in Texas, we've got a good thing going. You know, we've got a good governor. We've got some good things going on with our current legislative agenda for the upcoming session. So look, we've got good things going. So I'm going to be involved in that, right? We still have hope. And that's sort of my, I think, I've never been one to have like a word of the year, but I don't know. That's sort of been, I guess, my word of the year is hope. Because I think that this is going to be the year that Christians finally stand up. I mean, maybe it's time for Christians to stand up and to say enough already. My gosh, 2020 was sort of an assault on Christianity and our freedoms, our religious freedoms. Shut down our churches, and then people tried to worship outside, and then, no, you can't do that either, you know? And then we have this thing, we actually have this sort of weird thing in Texas, having a couple states. But the Satan, this is sort of crazy and weird and I don't know, a little funny. I mean, it's not funny, but I don't know. You sort of have to laugh or else you'll scream until your face turns blue. Okay. The Satanists, the Church of Satan. Here's the thing. The Church of Satan says they're not a church, but they call themselves a church. And then they say they're not a religion, but they call themselves a church. They say they're not a religion, but they want to get by with religious exemptions. So, okay. So here's the latest from the Church of Satan. The Church of Satan, they decided to put up billboards. Okay. The Satanic Temple or whatever. They put up billboards in, I think, in Dallas and a couple places in Texas, basically saying that religious abortion rituals averts state restrictions. Now, okay, now this is crazy because, first of all, the Church of Satan says that they're not a religion. That they don't ascribe to any higher authority, which, I mean, sort of is a requirement if you're going to be a religion, right? But they can use religious exemption to have an abortion because abortion is a religious abortion ritual. Luckily, the state of Texas, actually, I remember when this happened, the state of Texas actually already thought about this several years ago when we were putting some religious liberty legislation in place. And somebody actually, I remember this happening. I remember the state of Texas. I remember we were in a legislative briefing. And I remember somebody saying, you know, what if Satanists said that they wanted to have an abortion and that was, they used it as a religious argument. I remember that conversation conversation. And I remember thinking at the time, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And I might have even, that might have even come out of my mouth. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And then a few years later, that's exactly what they're trying to do. Thankfully, whoever that was, legislator, whoever it was, they already thought about that. They already put it into the law. You can't have an abortion ritual in the state of Texas and use that to opt out of some sort of state mandate or whatever they're trying to do. Anyway, things are nuts. Okay. Look, I want to introduce my guest. My guest today is my friend, Allie Stuckey. Allie Stuckey, welcome to Politely Rude.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Allie, of course, most of you probably know her. She has her own show called Relatable. She also has a fantastic book called You're Not Enough, and That's Okay, Escaping the Toxic Culture of Self-Love. Amen. And now I'm going to be honest, I haven't read the whole thing. I'm like about 60% of the way through. You have to forgive me. I have, you know, 27 kids. So, but Allie, I want to, first of all, you're a mom.
I am. Yes.
And I remember when Obama was president for his second term, I remember thinking, all right, well, Obama won and, well, you know, that stinks. But I can't really think of a time where I thought, this is really going to affect me. I thought, you know, it's probably going to affect my taxes a little bit, but whatever, you know. Yeah. When Biden was elected, however he was elected, this is the first time I've really thought after an election, this is really going to affect me. I'm not fearful of it. I don't live in fear or anything, but I just remember, I think to myself, this is going to affect me beyond my taxes, right?
Yeah.
Beyond the money, this is going to affect me. This is possibly going to affect my children. And that troubles me as a, as a parent. It troubles me, the type of changes that this administration could make in the next 4 years that could affect our family. You know, is that something that you've sort of thought about, you know, since November 4th?
Well, I've thought about it for a lot longer than that. And I think that's why so many of us were so passionate and involved in this election and really have been more involved than we would have liked to be for the past 4 years in politics. Because even if I think back to the nomination and eventual confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh, the realization that I came to that, okay, so we're totally done playing nice. Not that politics has ever been a nice and fair game, but the kind of vengefulness and rabid cruelty that I saw from people who were so willing to malign a man with what we all knew had been a sterling reputation for so long. I realized more than ever, I've always been a conservative, but I think more than ever at that time, I don't want those people in charge of my life. Like, I don't want those people making decisions. I don't want those people in charge of what justice looks like. Like, if this is what justice looks like to these people, I don't want them to be in charge. And not that the Republican Party is perfect by any means, but I don't want the government intervening in my life really at all, but especially the people who believe that dragging someone in their name through the mud, you know, in the name of getting what they want is something that's acceptable. So I would say way before November 4th did I start thinking, okay, you know, if this kind of ideology takes power, this is going to mean something for us. Like, this is going to mean something for what justice looks like. This is going to mean something for what fairness looks like. And then you think about legislation like the Equality Act and even the executive order that Joe Biden just signed saying, you know, there is no private space for women if your business or organization or if your organization or school gets federal funding. There's no women's only sports teams. There's no women's only locker rooms. There's no women's only bathrooms. I mean, this is stuff that affects your, I mean, it might not affect your everyday life, but it's going to affect your child's life. The loss of religious liberty through something like the Equality Act, that's going to affect your kid's life. I mean, taking away jobs from the oil and gas sector, that's going to affect people's everyday life. Raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour is going to close down more small businesses than the COVID restrictions have in the past year. So I think that, and maybe this is a good thing, like the time has come and gone for us thinking about politics as if it's some, you know, something that happens somewhere else, like something that doesn't affect our everyday lives, something that's not going to affect our kids, that we can just work to make our lives as private as possible. And what happens in Washington, it won't matter. It does matter. And even if it doesn't affect you right now, politics always affects the most vulnerable first. It affects children first. It affects poor people first. It affects babies in the womb first and most. And so I think it's good, actually, that we're realizing, okay, politics affect us. They affect the decisions that we're allowed to make. It, you know, it affects the protection of our children, our protection of our values. And so maybe it's about time for all of us to wake up and realize just how consequential these elections are.
Well, and that, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's what I was saying before you came on. Like, I feel... I sort of have this, I don't know, this sort of conflicting feeling in my soul. Like I feel almost a sense of dread, right, for what's to come. But then I also feel sort of hope rising up in me because maybe finally people will start to get it.
Yeah.
Maybe finally Christians will start speaking up and saying enough of this.
Right.
You know, we've had enough. And some of the things that Biden, I mean, we can sort of talk about the executive orders that he has rolled out so far. But, you know, even, you know, I just saw today, Biden is now reversing the executive order put into place by President Trump to reduce pricing for insulin and epinephrine. Okay. That's not a partisan issue. Right. That's going to affect everyone. Across the board. That's going to affect families with children. That's going to affect poor families, wealthy families. That's going to affect everyone. Why is that something that he would do? You know, I mean, some of the things that he's doing are going to affect a lot of families. It's going to affect a lot of working class families, like you were talking about with the pipeline. You know, the oil and gas industry is going to be greatly affected. There's going to be a lot of people who maybe voted for Biden because they didn't like the things that Trump said on Twitter or whatever, thinking, you know, they bought this sort of lie of hope and unity and, you know, Orange Man bad or whatever. You know, they sort of bought the lie from MSNBC and CNN, not realizing the consequences of their vote, not realizing the consequences of their action. And they're about to see it. They're right. About to see those consequences played out in their everyday lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if you don't see it in your everyday life, for example, maybe you think that, you know, him commemorating Roe v. Wade, which he did on Twitter today, the day that we're recording this, Joe Biden, and talking about, you know, reversing the Mexico City policy to make sure that we continue to fund abortion worldwide. You know, ensuring that the Hyde Amendment is repealed. Even if you think that those things don't affect your everyday life, they're affecting someone. And I'm so confused by, and I've been confused for a very long time, by, I'm an evangelical Christian. So the evangelicals for Biden, even evangelicals pro-lifer, evangelical pro-lifers for Biden, saying that, you know, we believe in being pro-life womb to tomb. We believe in being holistically pro-life, like all these adjectives before the term pro-life to try to justify voting for Joe Biden by saying, you know, you can vote for unrestricted access to taxpayer-funded abortion through 9 months and still be considered pro-life because, look, Joe Biden and the Democrats are going to do all of these things and bolster programs that supposedly help these poor women who are pregnant, which the jury is still out on whether or not those programs are even effective in the first place. And so I do wonder, even for those people who maybe their life isn't affected and certainly not affected immediately by some of these executive orders, what they're thinking about the decisions that are being made. Are they still thinking, well, at least he's not Trump. At least he's not tweeting bad things. Yeah. Like, at least he's not mean. I would love to talk to a Christian or a Protestant or Catholic who voted for Joe Biden and is seeing some of these things come down the pipeline, what they're thinking about it. You're not going to be able to butt Trump through the next 4 years. You're just not going to. We're not going to allow that kind of red herring to dominate our dialogue. You're going to have to reckon with what you voted for at some point.
You're listening to the Edify Podcast Network. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Lucas Miles, host of The Lucas Miles Show, and in case you haven't heard, I just wrote a new book. It's called The Christian Left: How Liberal Thought Has Hijacked the Church, and it's now available for pre-order wherever books are sold. In fact, recently it hit number one on Amazon in 3 different categories. The Christian Left is an in-depth look at church history, world politics, and pop culture in order to expose the rise and the agenda of progressive Christianity. Again, this is author and pastor Lucas Miles, and I want to thank you in advance for ordering a copy of my new book, The Christian Left.
This is the Edify Podcast Network. Welcome back.
My daughter, my 14-year-old daughter's, she's going into ninth grade next year. And we're sending her to a private Christian school. And we live in Austin. So I would rather stab my eyes out with pencils than send her to a public school in Austin. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we have a very good private school alternative. But my daughter's best friend, her parents, also very conservative Trump supporters, you know, great people. But their daughter plays soccer, and they really want their daughter to go to college on a soccer scholarship. And so, you know, they're like, well, you know, we're going to put her in public school.
Yeah.
For high school, because they think she'll have a better shot of getting a college, you know, soccer scholarship. And so I screenshot, you know, this article that was on The Blaze, and, you know, it's talking about Biden's, you know, orders to essentially, you know, what you're saying. There's no such thing as women's sports anymore. No such thing as, you know, women's locker rooms anymore. And so, you know, I send it to them, and I said, hey, you know, how's that public school looking now, you know? And, you know, I'm like, hey, by the way, you know, this private school's got a discount on enrollment right now, you know, and so it's not worth it. And this is what I'm telling parents. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to risk your child's safety. Mm-hmm. Our children are not safe under the Biden administration in the public school system. I mean, and I don't mean to like fear monger or anything like that, but this is just the reality. And I have to wonder, where are the feminists? At some point in time, this LGBT, and it's not even really the trans agenda has to come face to face with the feminist agenda. There has to be some sort of clash of the titans, because they cannot coexist. I mean, you can't be shouting, the feminist movement can't be shouting women's empowerment, and then the trans agenda is shouting, well, woman, you know, that's just a social construct. I mean, you can't really have it both ways. So there has to be sort of this clash. And then there are women who are, you know, there are some brave souls out there who are, you know, sort of bravely shouting, hey, look, guys, there's actually one woman who's a lesbian who is a lesbian, but is saying, we actually don't want, you know, the transgender movement in with the LGB movement, because they're sort of messing things up for us. Because I don't believe that men should be in women's sports. They're screwing up feminism and what we've fought for. And she's getting completely canceled by people in her own movement.
Yeah.
It's a complete mess right now, this whole gender issue. And meanwhile, the radical feminists are quiet about it. Men are taking over women's sports. So what these women have fought so hard to create, men are taking it over and they're just sitting there silent.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that you talk about, like J.K. Rowling. Now, the trans activists would call her a TERF, obviously, which stands for a trans exclusionary radical feminist. And there are a lot of women like that. I've had some of them on my podcast, and I'm about to have a couple more on my podcast who are categorized in that way, who see the very contradiction that you're talking about, that, okay, sex has to matter in order for us to care about women's rights. Part of feminism was giving women those safe spaces, helping women excel in their own way. It wasn't supposed to be, although I think a lot of us who are conservative Christians have been able to see the writing on the wall for feminism for a long time. But I think feminists would probably say it was never supposed to be about making women men or making women like men. It was supposed to be giving women equal rights. Now, I would argue that, look, a lot of feminism has been about trying to make women like men. I mean, I think abortion is part of that, yes. Women's bodily autonomy, women have to have the right to walk away from their pregnancies through abortion because men have the ability to physically walk away from their pregnancies. So I think the sexual revolution did try to make women more like men in the name of feminism. But now that's reaching its logical conclusion, which is, okay, if your argument as a feminist is that there really is no real big difference between men and women, that they really shouldn't have any different roles in society, that there's really, you know, no fundamental difference between the sexes, then why can't a man declare that he's a woman? Why can't a woman declare that she's a man? Now, what feminists are trying to do is say, hang on. That's not what we meant. Let's back up just a little bit. That's not what we wanted, which I think is fair. Like, they have a different limiting principle, but I think they also need to see that some of the things that they have stood for and that they have fought for it have led to what is kind of a logical conclusion of radical feminism. But so I do commend, though, the feminists who are standing up and are saying, this is going too far. This is not what we wanted when we were fighting for equal rights and equal protection and freedom for women and all of that. And we need those kinds of voices. But you're right, a lot of people are silent because, look, they understand that the train of progressivism goes really fast. And the people who are driving the train of progressivism are absolutely ruthless. And they will throw you off the train. They will run you over with the train if you dissent even just a little bit. And people are scared of these activists. Like, people are scared of this lobby. People are scared to speak against the most extreme parts of their movement or their side or their ideology because they don't want to be canceled. I wrote about this in my book. It was the tennis player, now I'm forgetting how to pronounce her last name, who a few years ago, you know, made some kind of statement that she was like, look, men and women can't compete against each other in tennis because we lose. It was even, I think it was Serena Williams, who is obviously amazing and strong and such an incredible athlete. She said, look, if I played against Andy Murray in tennis, I would lose every single match. And Andy Murray is like this little, you know, wiry guy, but he would dominate Serena Williams or Venus Williams. And they themselves know that. Female athletes know this. But the tennis player who made this statement a few years ago, she got canceled. The mob came after her and she ended up having to issue an apology. And she, you know, she's a lesbian too. So she's been part of the whole LGBT movement for a long time, but because she spoke out about the fundamental differences, especially in athletics between men and women, I mean, she just got steamrolled for it. And so I think people look at that, feminists look at that, and they're like, I don't want that to happen to me. So I'm just going to go with the flow.
Well, and it's the same in the abortion community. So people say to me, Abby, why don't, you know, when, you know, people talk about Carhartt and Curtis Boyd and these, you know, doctors that are, you know, they're killing babies up until the date of birth, you know, Warren Hearn, you know, and Planned Parenthood, they don't do that. They don't do abortions generally past 24 weeks. And so, you know, people say to me, Abby, why doesn't, you know, when lawsuits come out and, you know, if there's a, for instance, when there was a lawsuit regarding partial birth abortion and there were some, you know, abortion providers that were, you know, suing about that and Planned Parenthood didn't join in. And people are like, yeah, but why don't they say something about it? I'm like, because they're not going to go against their counterparts. They're not going to say anything against the extremism because everybody just goes with the flow. Nobody is going to speak out and say, Planned Parenthood's never going to come out and say, you know, guys, we don't really like late-term abortion either. They're never going to say that. So they're just going to stay quiet. So, you know, the majority of people that work at Planned Parenthood, you know, you're never going to hear, you would have never heard Cecile Richards or now their current president, Alexis Johnson. She's never going to come out and say, yeah, well, Planned Parenthood supports abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. Because honestly, that's not where they stand. Planned Parenthood doesn't do abortions past 24 weeks gestation. They never will. That's not their, that's not what they do. But they're never going to come out and take a stand against it. Yeah. They're not going to come out and take a stand because then they're going to be canceled, right? And that's what we find about, you know, these people with gender ideology. And they're people just, they just go with the flow because if you don't, if you step out of line, then you're done. You're immediately canceled. You're thrown out. And that's the culture that we're living in today.
Mm-hmm. It's almost safer to be like just an outspoken conservative because it's like, okay, people already know you voted for Donald Trump. Probably if you're a conservative, you, they know where you stand on abortion. They know where you stand on gender stuff. They know where you stand on all of that. There's no like secret. There's no like secret view that someone's going to find out like, oh, Ali Stuckey and Abby Johnson believe this about abortion. They're canceled. It's like, right. Yeah. I mean, we get, I mean, that's, you know, why we do what we do. Everyone knows those things. I think the most precarious position that you're in is an honest and intellectually curious liberal. If that is who you are, if you're just someone who is intellectually curious, but was previously accepted by the left for your ideas, then you are in a dangerous place. And I understand why some of those people choose to be quiet, even if they disagree, they'll lose their jobs.
Well, you know, I wonder if that's what happened. You know, there was that, what was her name? Last name, Powers. Kirsten Powers, I think.
There is a Kirsten Powers that works, I think, for CNN, but I don't know if that's who you're talking about.
Okay. Well, she, you know, she's a reporter and was, you know, sort of liberal. She covered the Gosnell trial. And, you know, was one of the only reporters that covered it. And she actually came out during that time and, you know, as a more liberal person, or I guess she was more sort of libertarian anyway. And she came out and said, you know, that after seeing all this, that she was she could not support abortion anymore. And then, you know, got totally slammed for it. Whatever. And, you know, the pro-life movement was like, great, you know, great. We've got an ally. And the pro-life movement, you know, they're happy to, I mean, gosh, we're happy to have anybody, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, right. We'll take you, you know, whatever. We don't care. Yeah. Well, you know, if you think abortion's wrong, we'll have you, you know?
Yeah.
And the pro-life movement was excited to have her. And then what do you know? Just a few months ago, she puts out this big tweet that, you know what, I changed my mind. I'm pro-choice after all. And all I think it, yeah, I mean, and I think it was because she, you know, she had been, you know, sort of liberal this whole time. And I think it was just because she just kept getting blasted over and over and over again. And I think it was like this fear of being canceled over her position on abortion. She wasn't in step with the liberal agenda.
Right.
And so it was like, you know what? I better just get in line.
Yeah.
With the liberal agenda here, or else they're gonna step on me.
There's no place for you. Yeah. I don't know who it was. I guess it was, I don't know what her name is, but I would love for someone to ask her, What changed? Because you learned about the brutality of abortion. You learned exactly about the procedures that happen at least sometimes, but even the ones that happen, you know, inside a sterile place in Planned Parenthood, as you have talked about and showed so well in the movie Unplanned, it's not glamorous. It's not fairy dust. It doesn't just poof, it happens. No matter what kind of abortion it is, it's brutal. And so I would love to know from her, what changed? The reality of abortion didn't change. Morality didn't change. What changed in you? And of course, she wouldn't say what you just said, I'm sure. I wonder what her personal reasoning would be. It's hard to imagine hearing something like God's now and then going back and saying, actually, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Allie, tell us, I know you've got to go soon. Tell us just a little bit about your book, why you chose to write it, where people can get it.
Yes. So my book, You're Not Enough and That's Okay, Escaping the Toxic Culture of Self-Love. It came out in August and I've just been very blessed and grateful for the reception that it's gotten and the feedback that I have gotten. I wrote it because of this phenomenon of what I've seen of trendy narcissism. Narcissism has always existed, but I think in our era, especially among women, even Christian women, it's been glorified as something that we should just accept, that we need to talk about how awesome we are, how amazing we are. We need to be self-focused. We need to put other priorities and other people to the side in favor of what we want to do, really at all costs. And if that really was the ticket to happiness, then I think our generations would be a lot happier, but we're not. We report higher levels of depression and anxiety and paranoia and loneliness and purposelessness. And we've been fed this message constantly that self-love is the answer to all of our problems. And so something's not working. Like, something's got to give here. And so I just make the case that there's something better than self-obsession and self-sufficiency. And that is Christ. And that doesn't mean self-hatred, by the way. That doesn't mean self-loathing. Right. That's not what I'm advocating for at all. It is a form of self-denial and self-forgetfulness and confidence and assurance that comes from Christ's love, which does not change. And that is what informs our purpose and our assurance and our confidence and our steadiness. Self-love can be superficial. It is unsteady. It's based on what other people think about us. And it's just not reliable as a source of happiness. But God's love is, because it's unconditional and unchanging. So in the book, we go through 5 myths surrounding that of what I just talked about. So yeah, it's a quick book. It's a little pink book. It is primarily for young women, but it really can be for everyone. You can go to alliebethstuckey.com/book and you can, you know, buy it anywhere you want to. And yeah, my podcast Relatable is 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. We talked about culture, news, theology from a Christian conservative perspective.
Awesome. So everybody go get her book. Everything I've, you know, I love everything that Allie does. She's fantastic. Her so podcast much. is awesome. Her show is awesome. I listen to it when I can, when I don't have screaming kids all around me. And I listen to it in the car sometimes. And her book is great. And so check out Allie, follow her on social, check out her show. Thank you so much, Allie.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. Congratulations on your new show. I hope it continues to be successful.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
So yeah, so go follow Allie. You'll love her. You'll love everything that she does. She had to go. She's pregnant. She's another little one, and she's pregnant and she's busy. So anyway, yeah, I know that you'll love everything that she does though. She's fantastic. So do check out her book. You can get it on Amazon. You're Not Enough and That's Okay. Anyway, yeah. So another cool thing I wanted to bring up today that I read was that Dr. Jerome Lejeune, he was the doctor that discovered Down syndrome. He may soon be declared a saint. You know, all of us probably know someone who has Down syndrome and just such special people given to us by God. And the Pope approved Dr. Lejeune's heroic virtues Thursday, according to the AP. And Lejeune is now considered venerable by the Catholic Church. And so before he could be sainted, he must be beatified. So that means that the Vatican must confirm that a miracle took place through his intercession. And then the Vatican has to confirm that a second miracle took place through his intercession for him to be sainted. So anyway, this is sort of exciting, exciting for those who are Catholics. So anyway, just wanted to sort of end on that note. And even though Allie couldn't stay for my joke, I'm still going to end the show with a joke. I mean, I know you'd be disappointed if you didn't get a joke at the end of Politely Rude. So here we go. I got a good one for you from my Jokelopedia. Ready? Why did the teapot blush? I'm laughing all by myself. This is okay. Here we go. Why did the teapot blush? He thought the kettle was whistling at him. All right. That's funny. All right. There you go. But still don't have that soundboard, Billy. Actually, my parents got me a soundboard for Christmas, and I got to figure out how to set it up. It looks so complicated. And I look at it like literally every day I come into my office, I look at it and I'm like, oh, I got to figure out how to set that up because I do not know how. Anyway. All right, guys. Thank you for joining me. I know that you loved Allie. She's amazing. Get her book. You're not enough and that's okay. Doesn't that make you feel good? I love the title of her book. It's so good. Everybody, have a fantastic, fantastic week. And go do something. Don't wallow around and be sad. Go do something. Go pray outside of a clinic. Go volunteer at a pregnancy center. Go get them some diapers. Go put some clean diapers on a baby butt. That'll make you feel good for the whole week. Thanks for joining us on Politely Rude with Abby Johnson. And you have a fantastic week. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Politely Rude with Abby Johnson on the Edify Podcast Network. Tune in next time for another powerful exploration of life, politics, parenting, and tips for navigating the daily chaos. And for more faith-inspiring podcasts, download the Edify Podcast app on the Apple and Google Play Stores or at edify.app.